Well, good morning. My name is Ben. If we haven't met before, I think I'm recognizing most of the people in here, but if we haven't met before, my name's Ben. I'm one of the pastors here. Had a couple of things to share with you before we get into the sermon today. One of them, if you have been on Facebook, you may have seen Caitlin's latest update. My wife, Caitlin, we went to the doctor's on Friday, and got reasonably significant news. It was a little bit of a shock to us timing-wise, but we've known this is coming. They believe that it is time for Caitlin to get listed for a heart transplant. Just with how she is doing and how she's feeling, all of those things, they think that it's time. We don't know that for certain yet. We are going back on Thursday, and so I'll be out of the office on Thursday, this Thursday. Christy will be here, but I'll be in Kansas City with Caitlin. She'll be doing tests, working with a social worker, talking to financial people. We'll be doing a lot of those things, and we'll find out some stuff then, but the next Tuesday after that, so a week and a half, we'll know whether she is getting listed or not. So I know many of you pray for Caitlin often. If you wouldn't mind praying that the tests show what is true and that the best decision gets made. And we don't know what that is. This is a kind of scary and exciting time in our lives. And so we're not exactly sure how to feel about it, but we trust in God. And we trust God to be at work in our lives in the meantime. So be praying there. Thank you for praying for Jim and Fran. Jim is back at home. He got home yesterday after having lost some blood due to I think it was a diverticula, which is something in your colon. Is that right? In your digestive system, and he lost a fair amount of blood there and needed to go to the ER and was able to be released back home yesterday. So Jim, Fran, if you're joining us online, I'm glad you are home, Jim, and we will pray for good rest and healing for you there. Last thing before we get going, you might know this. I'm somebody who sets goals for myself, personal goals every year. This year I set three. One of them I'm less likely to be able to obtain, just how the year rolled out and my lack of discipline, but that one's weight-related. You read into that what you will, but Caitlin and I have done 600 days of Duolingo Spanish, which was one of our goals, and one of them was that the last one was I wanted to do what's called a century ride, a 100-something ride on my bike, and I don't think I can get the miles in this year, but there is actually something called the MCC Flatlander. There we go. The MCC Flatlander, which goes to support Mennonite Central Committee, a group that we are associated with as Mennonite Brethren. And this ride goes to support helping people in Nicaragua get access to clean drinking water through digging a well. So September 18, I'm going to go out for that. And it's 65 miles, which is a little bit over a metric century, 100 kilometers some, Rick was reminding me earlier this morning. I think it's 62.4, you said. 62.4 miles is 100 kilometers. But I'm going to be doing that. I'll try and take some videos so you can see me flail across the finish line. I have not gone on a ride that long in a while. So anyways, if you'd like to support stuff or just donate to MCC, this is your friendly reminder. They do good work. They do good and wonderful things in a kingdom way. All of that out of the way. Let's talk, because based on the video that that Danny put together for us, my guess is you know that we're getting into a new series. We're in a series that I'm calling Renew. We are learning some things that we previously, and maybe we still, knew. The things that we knew that we know, and we're gonna talk about relearning them. We trust in that process that God is going to renew our minds, renew our hearts, our souls, and interact with us, because that is where we want to be, that God We want to be at a spot where God is changing us more and more to be like Jesus. And those four words that you saw up there a couple of minutes ago in that video, I want you to know their origin to a bit, because people in our church community have been praying. They've been praying far before we did the prayer series as our last sermon series. You all have been praying far before that, for many, many years, decades. I think, what, are we 67 as a church now? You have been praying for a long time as a church community, as a church body, and many of us have continued that. And someone was praying that our church would be transformed into Jesus' likeness, that we would be empowered by the Holy Spirit, that we would share boldly the good news of Jesus. And one of those people met with me and shared some words they had received in their prayer time. And let me just put them on the screen for us. These are the words that they received: awaken, reveal, renew, unleash. This was actually really exciting for me because I've been planning a renew series for a long time. And so for God to work that into somebody else's prayer life and for God to be putting that on my own heart and mind and bringing those together, it's good when God does stuff like that. Amen? When God does stuff that there's no way that we can plan it, but God does, and it's better than what we do, that God works in and through us. So today, I want us to talk about awakening, to wake up, to see what is going on. As my niece Ellie learned, you have to be awake if you want to see, if you want to participate in the good things. We're going to try this. Robert, watch our online friends, because I didn't get a chance to practice with this morning, but this is my niece Ellie. Ellie is just struggling to fall asleep. She is so tired, but she wants that pizza. She really, really wants that pizza. But you can see her eyes drooping there. She just wants it. Dad's hand has to be under there, keeping her awake. She wants the pizza. She was actually diagnosed with COVID during this time. That might explain some of her sleepiness. Thankfully, I think she is on the mend there. But she is so tired. She is so tired. Her eyes are drooping, but she has to stay awake. She knows she has to because she wants the pizza, right? That's what she wants. She wants that pizza. She wants the good things. And I think for us, the same thing is true, that if we want the good things in life, in our spiritual lives, we need to be awake. I want to acknowledge that we might be spiritually tired or even asleep. I'm not talking about physically tired. I did not get a ton of sleep last night. Caitlin didn't either. We had one of those restless nights. I want to say to you, do not ignore physical sleep. That is a terrible idea. As somebody who struggled with insomnia for years, that's a bad idea. We're not talking about physical sleepiness here. And sometimes a very spiritual thing to do is to rest. Rest is a holy thing, but we want to be spiritually awake. We want to be aware of what is going on. We don't want our spiritual eyes, we don't want our soul's eyes to be closed, to be struggling, to be sluggish. We want to be awake so that we can be a part of the good things that God has for us in our world. Here is what we are awake to. God came to earth as Jesus. He showed us all how to live. He died on the cross, was crucified dead, and was buried, but he rose again. And through the working of the cross, Jesus forgave our sins. That is the gospel right there. That Jesus saved us. That's what we are awake to. We could stop the sermon right there. I've known pastors that have. They got up, they said, Jesus saves, and they walked out the door. And that is enough. That is what we declare. That is why we are here, because in some way we have encountered Jesus, whether it was through a spiritual experience like Christy talked about last week in her prayer testimony, whether it was through other Christians, that's how many of us encounter Jesus, through people that are Christ followers, or whether it's something else, I don't know, but we are here because of Jesus. Jesus is what we need, and when we come to the end of ourselves, when we realize that it's Jesus that we need more than anything else, when we realize it's Jesus that we need, things change and we come to Him. And we know that if we were all more like Him, our world would be in a better spot. And that's all of us, us as Christ followers included. If we all were more like Jesus, if everyone on the planet was more like Jesus, our world would be in a better spot. And if none of us knew Jesus, this world would be in a much rougher state than it has been already. But listen to what the Apostle Paul says about Jesus. We're going to be exploring Colossians chapter 1. So if you've got your Bibles, if you access Scripture on the phone, Colossians 1, we're going to be taking a look through quite a bit of this passage. And let's see what it has to tell us. Let me get my Bible out. Let's read Colossians 1. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to people who live in the light, to His people who live in the light. For He has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sin. Jesus freed us, rescued us. We didn't realize that, maybe some of us didn't realize we need rescue, but we can all tell that our world is in a bad spot, and we contribute to that. We recognize that we need help. We recognize the world is not how it should be. Whether you are someone who is a Christ follower or not, we all recognize that things are not going how they should. And Jesus comes to save. Jesus comes to rescue. Let's listen to what Paul continues to say about Jesus. Robert, I'm going to invite you to, and Rick, to move the slides forward from here. But let's read. Colossians 1:15. This is a poem, or it starts out as a poem or a song. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through Him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made things we can't see and the things we can't see. Such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through Him and for Him. He existed before everything else and holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is His body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead, so He is first in everything. For God in His fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through Him God reconciled everything to Himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth, and by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you, who were once far away from God. You were His enemies, separated from Him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now He has reconciled you to Himself through the death of Christ in His physical body. As a result, He has brought you into His own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before Him without a single fault. There's a lot of meat to go over there. I think I've said this before here, but it's always worth saying. when we see things that are offset like this, I didn't change the formatting of the Bible to make it look a little bit funky, indentations and all that. When we see this, this is our clue that there is something else going on. This is maybe a poem, a song, maybe even a creed. The early church used creeds, sayings, to help remind them of what is true. But it starts out, Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. Jesus is what God has to say. Jesus existed before all things, holds all things together. But listen in here. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through him God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. It means Jesus brought us rescue and peace. Jesus saved us. And not only that, Jesus shows us how to live, how to be a part of saving the world from things like the evil forces in our world, like greed, anger, lust, envy, consumerism, selfishness, hatred, all of these bad things. Jesus shows us not only how to overcome them ourselves, but how to overcome them in our world. That Jesus has saved us from them and helps show us the way to overcome them ourselves. Jesus saves is why we are gathered as Christians. That is why we are here. We are here because Jesus saves. And if we aren't awake to that, we're not awake to anything, friends. We know that Jesus saves. We know that Jesus has saved each and every one of us who have called on him and have said, Jesus, help me. I believe. Paul tells us straight up that this is us, that we were enemies of God by our own choices, by our deeds. We're going to talk about that a little bit later in this series. We'll talk about our own deeds and our own stuff that we bring to this spiritual life. But what this passage tells us is God came to earth to save us all, even by death on a cross. Robert, I'm going to ask you, I didn't tell you to do this. Would you mind lifting the screen up for us? I appreciate it. Have you ever wondered why early Christians used the symbol of the cross? Because this was not a good thing, right? The cross was not a good thing in the ancient world. It was a symbol of death. It was the symbol of one nation that was conquering others, and if you disobeyed them, you got this. Well, there was this ancient practice in the world where if an army conquered another army, the winning general would go and take the losing general's sword. That general would take the losing general's sword and he would parade it around his hometown. He would parade it around his territory, showing everybody the losing general's sword. He'd lift it high as he rode through the streets of his town. Do you know why they did that? It was because he could show this sword, this enemy, can't harm us anymore. This enemy has been disarmed. They cannot use this weapon against us anymore. That's why generals would take the swords of their conquered foes and wave them around and celebrate that they have been disarmed. They are no longer able to harm us. They don't have their weapon anymore. And friends, I think that's why the early Christians used the cross, this symbol of death where we see God's love so deeply. Because the cross was not initially a symbol of Jesus. This was a tool of the other guy. This was a death is not from God. Death is from Satan. But Jesus went to death even on a cross, and the early Christians realized what that meant. That meant that death had been disarmed. That meant that death was only temporary, that it could not hold people down like it used to, that Jesus somehow by dying on the cross, forgiving us all, that somehow Jesus destroyed the power of death, and that means that one day we can all live with Jesus into eternity. Other passages talk about how Jesus disarmed the powers of this world, and that's why we use the cross, because it is the symbol. I think of it as the sword that the generals were parading around. We parade around the cross, which used to be the tool of the other guy, but now is the tool that saves us all. It all starts with Jesus. Some theologies, some ideas about God, they start with our human brokenness. They start with us. And we recognize that we human beings aren't perfect. But I think a better place to start is to start with the One, to start with Jesus, to start with what God did for us. That when we look at the cross, when we look at Jesus, we see a God that came to earth to save each and every one of us, regardless of what we had done. It is that God reaches out to us and shows us the way to live, that we can expect to have life with Him again. Death is still real. Death still occurs to us. We do not want death. And yet we know that for those of us that follow our Lord, He's already beaten it. It is temporary. We can expect to have life again with Him because He is Lord of all, and I pray that He's Lord of your life. I hope and I pray that if you are awake to anything, that you are awake to Jesus being Lord of your life. And so we're going to pray as we close our service here. We're going to take some time to pray. And if you are somebody, whether you are here in person, whether you're somebody that is joining us from online, from the internet, I want to ask us to close our eyes and just to think. We may be people that have heard this message before, that have heard that Jesus is Lord, but for whatever reason, we've never made a move. We've never actually said, Jesus be Lord in my life. If that is you, I want to invite you to consider, is now the time? Is this a time to say, Jesus, you are Lord of my life? You might be somebody who has never heard this before, that has not heard, and you are here. And so we ask and we pray, if that is you, if you are someone, whether you've never heard, whether you have heard this many times before, but are deciding now is the time, I want to ask you to pray this with me. If you are somebody who has heard this message, this story about Jesus saving us many times in your life, and you are yes and amen, we believe, I want to ask you to pray this with me again, because we recognize that it is true at the beginning of our spiritual lives, and it continues to be true all the way through. But let's just close our eyes and let's pray. You can repeat the words out loud. You can repeat them silently. We trust that God hears, but let's pray this prayer together. Lord, I need you. I need you to save me. I believe in you, Jesus. Save me, please. Amen. If you are somebody who prayed that prayer for the first time, congratulations, hallelujah, praise God. If that is you, please come talk to me after the service, because we're not meant to do this Christian thing alone. If you're somebody online, reach out to me. I'd be glad to talk with you. But we're not meant to do this Christ-following thing alone. If you are somebody who prayed that prayer and you have already made Jesus Lord of your life, it is still true. We all need God to save us. It is God who reaches out to us. God who makes the first move. That's what we see on the cross. My hope and my prayer is that we would not fall asleep, that we would awaken to what God is doing, what God has already done, which is Jesus, and what He is doing and is continuing to do through Jesus' body, the church, here and now throughout history and also now. So wherever you're at in your spiritual journey, may you be awake to Jesus. May you be awake, alert, and alive, watching for what God is doing, knowing what He did for you on the cross, and may you follow Him this week well, because the way of Jesus leads to life. Go following Jesus. Go in faith. Be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Blessings to you, church family. Go in peace.